Lord Jesus Christ, I am not worthy to have you into my home, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Amen. The story starts with such a gruesome depiction of the death of John the Baptist, mixed in with the dinner entertainment of King Herod. It is a warning that so often people will choose, and the world will choose, entertainment and reject the gospel. It is a warning to Christ, to Jesus. He is following John the Baptist. And now that John is dead, Jesus is next. Jesus, in a moving scene, goes off by himself to grieve the loss of his cousin, perhaps someone he looked to as a mentor. He goes to grieve alone, and the crowds follow. And instead of chasing them away, he has compassion on them. There are two groups of people that Jesus encounters in the two stories that follow. With whom do you identify in these stories? Now, Jesus is in these stories, but you're not allowed to choose him. You can't identify with Jesus. We aren't Jesus. But there are two groups here. In the first story, we have the disciples who are seated and receive the bread. And we have the disciples who, alongside Jesus, distribute the bread. In the second story, we have the disciples who are seated in the boat. And we have the disciple who steps out to imitate and follow Jesus. With whom do you identify in these stories? Now, it's a bit of a trick question. I am not planning on preaching a straightforward, it's time to get out of the boat, motivational talk. It's time to stand up and help talk. Because I believe that as disciples, we must belong to both groups. All of the people in these stories are disciples. And like these disciples, we must be fed by Jesus. And we must imitate Jesus by feeding others. Or we must observe and understand Jesus and his authority. And at the same time, we must then take a step to follow Jesus if we wish to truly understand him. Now, we must be fed because we need to eat. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread. And he distributed it. There was enough bread to feed 5,000 men, along with women and children. Notice that the bread came from Jesus. It came out of him. Jesus, in this miracle, gave of himself. The disciples correctly said, "We've got nothing." And Jesus fed them. First and foremost for us, Jesus feeds us at the communion table. And Jesus feeds us out of himself. But as we talked about with the children, it is also in prayer, in singing hymns and psalms, in listening to scripture, in gathering for worship, in serving others, that Jesus feeds us. From the chuckles that I heard through the children's moment, I think that it's a common experience watching children refuse to eat. A frustrating for some of us who are equally stubborn and want to know that we're in control here. An equally frustrating experience. There's a children's book that was written at some point in the last few years, written mainly to console and amuse parents. The title is in all caps, in bold, with lots of exclamation points, and it's called, "You Need to Eat!" Why is it that children turn away from the food put in front of them? Now, I happen to know someone who has miraculously grown from being a small young boy into a young adult, strong and healthy, in spite of spending hours at the table multiple times a day refusing to eat the food in front of him. I am slightly less stubborn with my youngest daughter now, and I suppose they don't eat because they're not hungry, or they'd rather do other things. But we all know what happens, don't we? It comes to bedtime, and then suddenly, wait, I'm still hungry. I can't go to bed yet. Or we wanted them to eat because we had somewhere to go, and we get in the car, and it's, oh, I'm hungry now. How often are we like children? We can think of so many other things we would rather do. Maybe we don't like what's being provided, or we're afraid we don't like it. I don't want my peas. And we skip the meal that God has provided for us. And then the moment comes when we realize, or maybe we never realize, hopefully not too late, we realize that we are hungry. People are hungry spiritually. It is too easy to neglect to seek Jesus, to drift away, and then to fill this hunger that you can't quite put your finger on with distraction and entertainment, with addiction, with work, with socializing. But we need to eat. If we want to minister to others, we need to eat. And Jesus provides the meal for us. But which comes first? Receiving the food or giving the food? At first, maybe this seems like a straightforward answer. I'm asking a rhetorical question, perhaps. Obviously, you have to receive before you can give. We must be fed in order to feed others. But of course, we can think of examples from life where this order is not so simple. Which comes first, learning or doing? Or don't they often happen together? Don't we have the expression, the teacher teaches their self? Because there's something about the practice of teaching others that helps you to learn the lesson really well yourself. Or perhaps you have bought a new toy, a new tool, and as so often these days, they don't come with these big instruction booklets anymore. Your phones often come with nothing, and they just expect you to follow human nature, and that's just to learn by trial and error. We learn how to do it. If you want the instruction booklet, you can go and find it, they say. But they don't provide them anymore. And in this story, the disciples learn by imitating Jesus. It is not that Jesus feeds all of them, but rather he asks some, after they have been fed, to feed others as well. We have been blessed with relationships with a number of African people for whom one of them has captured this principle between how doing things changes us, even though we don't start with the right feeling or the right character. Now, one of them, I forget his name now, he was a caretaker here for a while, and he said to me, "How are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm so-so." And he went, "No! You never say that. You always say, I'm great, because then you will feel great." It was a brilliant insight into other cultures and how they work. But C.S. Lewis, in his books, often comments on a similar principle, that we don't feel a certain way, and we wait for that feeling. And instead, Lewis encourages us to practice to do it, and then maybe find that the feeling follows after. We learn from instruction, and we learn from doing. And this is actually a key to understanding Matthew's gospel. If you read the whole thing through, and you'll notice that there are five blocks of teaching, perhaps a reference to the Mosaic Law. And each time after this block of teaching, Jesus then takes his disciples and they go and they do. The disciples are not just spending these years taking notes. It's an apprenticeship and an internship. And so if you want to know Jesus more, you must follow him. If you want to know Jesus more, you must do the things that he does. If you want to feed others, if you want to be fed by Jesus, you must feed others. If you want to recognize Jesus' presence in your life, you need to step out of the boat and follow him. If you want to recognize his authority over all of creation, over all people, you need to step out of the boat and follow him. In these stories, Jesus himself begins by commanding them, "You give them something to eat." And they learn by doing. We need to eat. We need to learn by doing. What is it we are trying to learn? If we are emulating Jesus, if we are following him, what is it exactly what is our goal exactly? Is it to feed people, to feed the hungry? Is it to bring healing to people? In everything that Jesus did, first and foremost, he was calling people to himself. Come, step out of the boat and see that I am the Lord over all of creation. Come. Jesus healed, he advised, he taught, he comforted, he saved, he befriended, and he fed people. But always in everything, Jesus was primarily connecting people through those things to himself. He was revealing his true nature always. So we, in imitation of Jesus, are feeding other people, not simply to feed them, but so that they might eventually come to Jesus to be fed. Because once again, the disciples were right when they said, or rather when Jesus said, "You give them something to eat," they replied, "We have nothing." When the hospitals were moving away from chaplains on staff, pastors were encouraged to come, but part of this was a thrust to say, you're there as a generalist. You're there to help people by listening and by counseling and by finding comfort. And there was a part of me that was saying, the only thing I have of value is Jesus. Now, maybe I could comfort for a moment. I could pray with them. But if only they would come to Jesus themselves. I can share food with someone who is hungry, but they will be hungry again. If only they would see that it is Jesus that they truly hunger for. That it is Jesus that they need to be comforted, connected to. We have received, and being here, you will be fed. Will you get up to feed others and to lead others to Christ? Will you remain in the boat? Will you experience God's presence and point others to Jesus as well? If we follow and obey Jesus Christ, he will use what little we have to offer, simple words and actions, and miraculously feed people himself. To our Lord be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.